So last time I talked about beings on spiritual path. So this time I'll talk about the spiritual path itself. So last time we learned different individuals going along the spiritual path, and so this time we need to understand what the spiritual path is. So spiritual path really means the practice. So what we do when we claim ourselves to be the disciples of the Buddha. And we are lucky that Buddha taught us the spiritual path, or Buddha gave us the spiritual path in stages. Now, the first thing we do as Buddhists, as the followers of the Buddha, is taking refuge. So we will begin with, we will begin the spiritual path with taking refuge. When we were little and when we were afraid, then we ran to our parents for refuge. So once we got into the lap of our parents, our fears disappeared. And also, when there is some danger or something, we try to go to some place for shelter from that danger. Or say when it is too hot outside, so we get into the building, and the building becomes a refuge for us from heat outside. And when it is very cold, the same thing. Say we get into the building, and then we can protect ourselves from cold. So the building or the house is our refuge from heat or cold, and also other natural disasters like storm and so on. When we go along the journey of samsara, sometimes we have fears, sometimes there are dangers. And so when we are confronted with these fears or dangers, we need to have some kind of refuge. We need to have some persons or something that will help us to get free from such fears or dangers. Now, what is a refuge? In the ancient commentaries, a refuge is explained as something or someone that crushes or destroys our fear or terror or suffering or affliction in woeful states and suffering in the samsara. So in this sense, all the three gems in Buddhism, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, are called refuge. Now, Buddha is called a refuge because he oppresses the fear in us, or fear of beings. That means he helped us to avoid danger. by engaging them in what is beneficial or what is wholesome, and by deterring us from what is unwholesome or what is non-beneficial. Now Buddha was like a good teacher. Buddha always said, do merit and avoid demerit. So when Buddha said do merit, that means he is engaging us to the acts of merit which will be beneficial to us. And when Buddha said do not do demerit, do not do evil, then he is deterring us from what is not beneficial for us, the unwholesome states. Dhamma is also called refuge. Now when Dhamma is realized, a person becomes enlightened, then he will be able to cross over to the other shore of the samsara. And also, even if he reaches the lower stages of enlightenment, he gets consolation in this samsara, or he gets a foothold in this samsara. So, in this sense, Dhamma is also called a refuge, because it oppresses fear or danger of beings. Sangha is also called refuge. Now when we make offerings to the Sangha, then we get abundant results from this offering. When we pay respects to the Sangha, we get abundant results from this giving respects and so on. And so in one way, Sangha helps us to avoid the danger of not getting enough results. If we give to those who are not worthy of our gifts, we will not get as abundant results as we give to the Sangha. So Sangha is called a refuge because it makes our offerings to them, it makes our acts of veneration to them bring abundant results. As Buddhists, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha are refuge. And in order to affirm that we are followers of the three gems, we take refuge. Now you all know how to take refuge. So what is it that we call taking refuge? According to Abhidhamma, when you take refuge, a wholesome consciousness arises in your mind, a kusala consciousness arises in your mind. And that kusala consciousness is free from defilements, that means free from ignorance of the three gems, free from non-confidence in the three gems. And when it arises, it takes the three gems as object. And so, taking refuge really means the arising of that type of consciousness. When we say, I take Buddha as my refuge, that means I regard the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha as the supreme resort. That means the ultimate resort, the ultimate refuge. So when we take refuge, or the taking refuge means the arising of that type of consciousness. And when we say the formula, Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchami, and so on, that consciousness arises in our mind, and it is free from mental defilements, and it has reverence for the three gems, and at the same time it takes the three gems and not other things as the real refuge. And in the commentary it is explained that who is it that takes the refuge? That means what kind of a person that takes refuge. So the answer is a person who is endowed with that type of consciousness, or who has that type of consciousness, is the one who takes refuge. Take refuge. We simply regard the Buddha, the Dhamma, and Sangha as our guides or as our teachers. And taking refuge does not mean that we have faith in the Buddha and then we don't do anything relying upon the Buddha to give us results. So taking refuge is just regarding them as our spiritual guides. And there are two kinds of taking refuge. The first one is supramundane and the second is mundane. The supramundane taking refuge occurs at the moment of attainment of enlightenment, or at the moment of the arising of path consciousness. So when path consciousness arises, a person realizes the Four Noble Truths, taking Nibbana as object at that time. So at that moment, the taking of refuge is said to be accomplished, firmly established in that person. So that is called supramundane taking refuge. Mundane taking refuge is for bhūtojanas. So when they take refuge, they suppress the defilements or obstacles to taking refuge. That means non-confidence in the in the three gems, or ignorance of the three gems, and so on. So when they take refuge, they understand the three gems properly, and they have confidence or faith in the three gems. And also when taking refuge, they take the excellent qualities of them as object. That means when we take refuge, we think of the qualities of the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. So for Buddhists, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha are the objects of faith or confidence. So when we take refuge, that means we gain faith in the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. And that faith helps us to attain the right view, because through faith we learn the teachings of the Buddha and we gain the right understanding. So at the moment of taking refuge, there is this faith and the right understanding occurring in our minds. Now there are 10 kinds of meritorious deeds, and the last of them is called straightening of view. Straightening of view means having the right view. So this right view is rooted in the faith or confidence in the three gems. Now the mundane taking refuge is said to be of four kinds. That means, how do we take refuge? Now there are four kinds of taking refuge. And the first is by surrendering oneself to the Buddha, to the Dhamma, and to the Sangha. So instead of saying, I take refuge in the Buddha, we can say, I surrender myself to the Buddha, to the Dhamma, to the Sangha. I relinquish myself to the Buddha, to the Dhamma, and to the Sangha. So surrendering oneself to the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha is a kind of taking refuge in the three gems. So when we surrender ourselves and we say, making this day the beginning, I surrender myself to the Buddha, and so on. Now, making this day the beginning, I have translated literally from the Pali. That means just from this day onwards, I surrender myself to the Buddha, and so on. Now, second kind of mundane taking refuge is by taking the triple gem as one supreme resort. That means by regarding them as one's best resort. So when we use that kind or that method of taking refuge, then we may say, making this day the beginning, I am the one who have the Buddha as my supreme resort, who have the Dhamma as my supreme resort, and who have the Sangha as my supreme resort, and thus regard me. So this is how they express their taking refuge. Sometimes we may not say, I surrender myself to the Buddha, or we will not say, I am the one who have the Buddha as my supreme resort. But we may say, I am the pupil of the Buddha, pupil of the Dhamma, and pupil of the Sangha. So when we say this, we are virtually taking refuge in the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. So the third kind of mundane taking refuge is by becoming a pupil of the Triple Gem, or by admitting that one is a disciple of the three gems. The fourth way of mundane taking refuge is by paying homage, etc., by bowing down to the Buddha, and so on, or by rising from the seat when Buddha and others come, or by showing reverence to them folded hands, and also the other acts of respect. So all of these are called here, say, paying respect or something like that. So we may not say the words like, I surrender myself to the Buddha, but when we bow down to the Buddha, then we are virtually taking refuge in the Buddha. When we show respect to the Buddha, we are virtually taking refuge in the Buddha, and so on. Now this fourth one is described as prostration in some translations. But it is not necessarily a prostration. Prostration is one act of paying respects. But it is not necessarily prostration, but just paying homage or paying respects. So if you do not bow down to him, but shows respects to the Buddha and others in some other ways, then you are virtually taking refuge in the three jhanas. So it is not prostration only, but any form of paying homage. Now, when we take refuge, we say the formula Bodhang Saranang Gacchami and so on. So what is this? Is it number one, self-surrendering? We do not say, I surrender myself to the Buddha. Then number three, we do not say, I'm the pupil of the Buddha. And number four, maybe we pay homage to the Buddha. But when we say, I take Buddha as my refuge, I think we are following the second one. That means taking the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha as our supreme resort, as our refuge. In the formulas given in these four kinds of taking refuge, there is a phrase, making this day the beginning, or from this day onward. I think it is proper to say these words only when we first take refuge. Now, we take refuge every day. Actually, we took refuge when we were young, and then we take refuge every day. So when we take for the second time, third time, and so on, I don't think we need to say from this day on, from this day on. If we say, suppose we say today, from this day on, I take the Buddha as my refuge, that might mean we didn't take Buddha as a refuge yesterday or in the days long past. So these formulas are for those who take for the first time the refuge in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. So as Buddhists who have been taking refuge in the three jhanas almost every day, we don't need to say from today onwards, from today onwards. Now the last one, taking refuge by paying homage and others. And the last kind is again of four kinds. That means homage and others shown towards relatives, and homage and others motivated by fear, because we are afraid, so we pay respects and so on. Or respect shown towards a teacher, or the paying homage based on esteem for spiritual worthiness. That means the homage paid as a person who is worthy of accepting our reverence, and who is worthy of accepting offerings. Now, if a member of Sakya clan or Koliya clan pays homage to the Buddha thinking he is our relative, he has not thereby taken refuge. So if you pay homage to the Buddha because Buddha is your relative, then you do not take refuge. You pay homage just because Buddha is your relative. And if you pay homage because you are afraid, or because you are motivated by fear, then you do not take precepts. So it is explained in the commentaries that if one pays homage to the Buddha out of fear thinking, the recluse Gautama is honored by kings and has great power. If I do not pay homage to him, he may harm me. So if he pays homage to the Buddha because of this fear, then he is not taking refuge. Now, in the Eastern cultures, teachers are very much respected. So people or pupils pay homage to the teachers simply because they are their teachers. So if a person pays homage to a person or bow down to a person because that person is his teacher, then he is not taking refuge. Now, the Buddha, before he became the Buddha, he was a Bodhisattva. So during the time of Bodhisattva, he may have taught something to somebody. And if that somebody pays respect, homage to the Buddha, thinking of that advice he got when Buddha was a Bodhisattva, then he is not taking refuge. Not only that, even after he became the Buddha, he may give some advice to some lay people for their worldly prosperity. Now, sometimes Buddha give instructions to people how to spend their money. You want to know? One portion of their income they must use for their living and for their enjoyment. And with two portions of their income, they are to do business. And the last or the fourth portion, they must put aside for emergencies. So you divide your income into four parts, and then with one part you spend at home and for your enjoyment and for your family's enjoyment, and with 50% of your income you do business, and the last 25% you put in the bank, so that when emergencies come, you can solve this problem. So sometimes Buddha gave such an advice. Suppose a person hears that advice and then he pays homage to the Buddha as a teacher, because Buddha taught this, then he is not taking refuge in the Buddha, because he pays homage to the Buddha because he learns that thing from the Buddha, way of how to spend his money, and not for the attainment of enlightenment. So in such a case, a person bowing down to the Buddha is not taking refuge in the Buddha. Okay. So even though you pay homage to a person, if you pay homage to him because he is your relative, or because you are afraid that if you do not pay homage he may do harm to you, or because he is your teacher, then you are not taking refuge. So the real taking refuge happens only when you pay homage and others based on respect for his spiritual worthiness. That means you pay homage to the Buddha because you believe or you understand that Buddha was the best of the persons who are worthy of accepting reverence and accepting offerings. So only in such a case is refuge said to be taken. Okay, now we go the other way around. Suppose you have taken refuge, not suppose, you have taken refuge in the triple gem. Then you have a relative who belongs to another religion in the triple gem. Then you have a relative who belongs to another religion. Let us say a priest, a Catholic priest. You pay homage to that Catholic priest who is your relative. If you are taking refuge program, you have taken refuge in the three gems. Now you are paying respects or you are paying homage to a priest of another religion, but he is your relative. If you are taking refuge broken or breached that way, no. Now, during the time of the kings, people have to pay homage to the kings. People have bowed down to the kings. So, you bow down to the king. Because if you do not bow down, he may do harm to you. So, out of fear, you bow down to the king. So, in that case too, you are taking refuge is not broken. Okay. You have a teacher, and that teacher happens to be a priest of another religion. You bow down to that teacher because he's your teacher. Yes, you are taking refuge in the three gems. Breached? No. Okay. You met a priest. He's not your relative. He's not your teacher. And you are not afraid of him. But you think that since he is a priest, although he belongs to another religion, you have to pay. It is good to pay homage to him, and you pay homage to him. What about you are taking refuge in the three gems? Is it broken or not? It's not explained in the commentaries, so we have to decide for ourselves. I think so long as you do not take that person to be your teacher in getting out of samsara, your teacher in the practice of meditation, your teacher in getting rid of mental defilements, I think you are taking refuge in the three gems is still intact. Okay, suppose there is a woman who is pregnant, and then she says, my child in my womb takes refuge in the Buddha, and so on. Or For the child in my womb, I take refuge in the Buddha, and so on. Has the child, how to call that? Has the child taken refuge in that way? During the time of the Buddha, there was a prince called Bodhi. So he invited the Buddha to his house and offered meals to the Buddha. And then he asked about Buddha's practice, Buddha's striving to become the Buddha, and Buddha related to him in detail what he practiced and during his 6 years in the forest. And then at the end, a friend of his said, "Friend, you are praising the Buddha, but you did not take refuge in the Buddha." Then Prince Bodhi said, "Although I do not take refuge in the Buddha when I'm grown up, when I was in the womb of my mother took refuge for me." So he considered himself to be one who has taken refuge in the three gems. But the commentary explained that there is no taking refuge without knowing or without mind. So that means, although his mother took refuge for him when he was in her womb, actually he did not take refuge because he did not know. But after his birth, the mother told him that she had taken refuge for him when he was in her womb, and he knows at that time that his mother had taken refuge, and so he takes refuge at that time. Then how to call that? He takes refuge at that time. So, taking refuge is to be done with full awareness or understanding. So when we take refuge, or when we say Buddham Saranam Gacchami and so on, we must have the understanding that we are taking refuge in the Buddha and so on. Now, in countries like Burma, people are so used to saying these formulas that they just say the formula. They may not even know the meaning of what the formula is. I have asked many people, "What was it that you say, Buddha Saranam Gacchami and so on? What was that? What is the meaning of that?" They didn't know. So I told them, in order to get refuge seriously, you have to understand what you are saying when you say Buddha Saranam Gacchami. So at least, even if you do not know the meaning of the individual words, please understand that when you say this formula, you are taking refuge in the Buddha. This much you must understand. That is what I tell them always. Because taking refuge is a serious undertaking, a serious act of confidence in the Triple Gem. And so we must do it with full conviction, not as an act we do routinely, or not doing it slightly. So we must understand the meaning of the formula, and also we must know at that time, or at the time we say Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi and so on, that we are taking refuge in the Buddha, or we are regarding the Buddha as our spiritual guide. Now, Buddhists take refuge many times in their lives. Almost every day, they take refuge. So, must they take refuge every day? It is absolutely necessary to take refuge every day. Or, what if a person is not able to take refuge because of busyness? Can we tell, or can we say that on that day he is without refuge? Now, the refuge once taken will stay with you how many years? 3 years? 5 years? As long as you keep it, until you give it up or until you die. So actually, it is not necessary to take refuge every day, but we take refuge every day or almost every day because we want to affirm our confidence in the Triple Gem. We want to affirm our faith in the Triple Gem. We want to affirm that we are always the disciples of the three gems. And by taking refuge, we get only kusala. By taking refuge, we get kusala. And so, taking refuge is a good act. And so, even though it is not absolutely necessary, I think we should do it every day. And the commentaries tell us about what is called defilement of the refuge. That means defilement in having refuge, or impurities in having refuge. Now, as to Subramandin refuge, there is no defilement, because Subramandin refuge is taken by those who are enlightened. But in mundane refuge, or of mundane refuge, there can be defilement. When we are ignorant of the three gems, or when we have doubts about the three gems, or when we have misunderstanding about the three gems, then our refuge, or having refuge, is said to be impure. It is said to be contaminated. When is the refuge broken? Or when it is breached? Now, there can be breach of mundane refuge only. There is no breach of supramundane refuge. And there are two kinds of breach of mundane refuge, and that is blameworthy and blameless. Blameworthy means bringing painful results, and blameless means bringing no results. Now, the blameworthy breach of refuge occurs when one does surrendering oneself, etc., to other teachers, etc. That means one goes to another teacher, another religion, and take that religion. So that means when one gives up one's confidence in the triple gem. And that kind of breach is called blameworthy breach, because from the Buddhist point of view it is blameworthy. And it is said that it brings undesirable results. The blameless breach of refuge occurs when a person dies. And when that blameless breach occurs, there is no results, because death is itself a result of karma in the past. Since it is a result, it has no ability to give results, or it is not result giving. So that kind of breach does not bring any undesirable results or desirable results also. Now, at Buddhist funeral services, the monks conducted the services, and then what lay people do at these services is first take the refuge and precepts, and then they may do some they may make some offerings, and then they share merits with the one who has passed away. Now, in Burma, that service is called something like giving refuge. So having someone take refuge. And many people think that is making that dead body take refuge. Actually, dead body is dead body, and it is like a log, and so it doesn't know anything at all. But I think the idea behind it is that the person dies and then he is reborn in another existence. So when he is reborn in another existence, he has no refuge in that new life. So those who are left behind want him to take refuge or to have refuge in his new existence. And so they invite him to take refuge along with them and take refuge take refuge in the triple gem, following the lead of the monk. So these services, Buddhist funeral services, are to help those who have departed, and in one sense, especially in Burma, it is having them take refuge in their next life, so that they are persons who have refuge in the three gems. So the Burmese call this, how do we translate that? Putting him on refuge, or something like that. Now, there is no breach of supramundane refuge, because that is the refuge of the enlightened ones. And it is explained in the commentaries that even in another life, a noble disciple does not point to some other teacher. That means, suppose a Sotapanna dies here, and he is reborn as a human being in another place. Even though he may be reborn of parents of other religion, he will not lose his refuge in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. That means he will be a Buddhist even though he is born to non-Buddhist parents. So there is no breach of Subramanian refuge even in other lives. But the refuge of a Putujana can be broken even when he is living, and surely at the time of his death. Now, in the beginning I said taking refuge is the first act we do as Buddhists. So if a person wants to become a Buddhist, what must he do? So just take refuge in the three gems. So by taking three gems, he declares himself to be a disciple of the Buddha, or in modern terms, he declares himself to be a Buddhist. So as Buddhists, we take refuge every day, and it is a good act. But before he passed away, Buddha advised his disciples be like islands unto yourselves, be a refuge to yourself, do not have any other as refuge. So we have two statements. It is good to take refuge in the three gems. And the Buddha said, do not take any other as refuge. Take yourself as your own refuge. Now, when we take refuge in the three gems, we regard them as our guides, as our spiritual teachers. That does not mean that we rely on them totally for our deliverance from suffering. But when Buddha said, do not have any other as refuge, that means rely on your own self for your deliverance. Do not rely on any other person for your own deliverance, because that is an impossible thing. So it is right to say that we take refuge in the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, and also it is right to say that we don't take any other for refuge. We take ourselves as refuge. And then Buddha continued his explanation that taking oneself as refuge means actually what? Taking Dhamma as refuge. And taking Dhamma as refuge means practice of four foundations of mindfulness. So when Buddha said, take yourself as refuge, that means practice mindfulness, foundations of mindfulness. So these two are not in, how to call that, not in contrast, or what do you say that?
Contradiction.
These two are not in contradiction with each other. So, to express our confidence in the triple gem, we will take refuge every day, and to follow the advice of the Buddha that we have ourselves as our refuge, we will practice the four foundations of mindfulness. So when you are practicing the four foundations of mindfulness, when you are practicing vipassana meditation, then you are following the advice of the Buddha and you are taking yourself as refuge. So we take refuge in the three gems. We regard the three gems as our infallible spiritual guides, and we practice the four foundations of mindfulness to follow the advice that we should have ourselves as refuge. So by taking refuge in the three gems and by taking refuge in ourselves, we hope to be able to reach the final goal of all Buddhists, that is total purification of mind and realization of Nibbana.